KFNC.
You have my curiosity.
Mont Belvieu, Houston.
Now you have my attention.
ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4 p.m., and it just kind of dawned on me during the break, there might be a very good reason why we haven't been able to reach Kevin McHale, especially a member of the Turner family, based on the news with Craig Sager. So it's breaking now. People are starting to react. I'm sure that everybody wants comments from all these people, and I'm sure they need a little time to mourn about it too. So if we can, we will get Coach McHale on today. If not today, we definitely will get him on tomorrow. So that's something, and we're also working on another special guest for you. We won't break until we can get him for sure, but I'm going back and forth with him right now to try and get him on, someone that you guys all know and love from your third favorite team in the city of Houston based on the polls. The other breaking news, but not to the magnitude of Craig Sager, but the injury report is out for the Houston Texans, and Barry is staring at it. So without further ado, Barry.
Yeah, C.J. Fedorowicz and Jeff Allen are still in the concussion protocol. Did not participate in practice today.
I saw that yesterday, and that kind of red flagged me on Fedorowicz because he's been such a favorite target of Brock lately.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think we'll see some more Steven Anderson, which doesn't hurt my feelings at all. I know Fedorowicz is having a big year, and he's Brock's favorite target. But I'm a big fan of Steven Anderson. Steven Anderson is the...
How do I put it? Spry? Very receiver-esque for a tight end.
Yeah.
Keenan would say, he's got loose hips.
Well, for me, he's the Akeem Hunt of the tight ends. Like, yeah. It seems like whenever he touches the ball, he does well. And it wouldn't hurt my feelings if he gets the ball more. So
I agree.
So that... And then Don Jones is out with an illness. Jonathan Joseph out with ribs. And John Simon chest, and then limited participation. Some notable names: Clowney was limited, Cushing was limited, Tyler Irvin, Hop, Bernardrick McKinney, and Lamar Miller. So and Whitney Merciless. So but a lot of that is just the fact that we're getting late in the season, and some of these vets are getting banged up and getting their reps in without going overboard, and they're already hurting. So I wouldn't read too much into those. But the big one here is C.J. Fedorowicz still in the concussion protocol, and guard Jeff Allen. Don't sleep on that one either. That could be a big deal for the Texans down the, if he's unable to go this week.
Yeah, for sure. You're absolutely right. It'll be really interesting to see how it all plays out, because as Keenan alluded to, and then he and I were talking last night, and he stressed it more and more. You cannot look past Jacksonville. As bad as they have been playing, and as much as they're playing through the end of the season, you got to be careful, because if you do look... First of all, there is no wiggle room anyway. If you just want to get to that last game against Tennessee, you can't have any slip-ups. As Quentin Demps told us on Monday, or Tuesday, you've got to treat every game now like it's a playoff game.
Yeah.
So you can't look past Jacksonville, regardless of who's healthy, who's not. It's such a big game. Because it's a road game, it's a divisional game, as we all covered with Quentin as well. But you know what? They have three young receivers that can play. They are very defense heavy. They've got a quarterback that, much like the one that you watch every single week, is very unpredictable and has had a very downward spiral for the season. But don't look past them, and don't get cute.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of Blake Bortles, I think. The stat that stood out to me when I was looking and doing some comparisons of these two teams is their leading rusher right now, TJ Yeldon, has 432 yards.
Yeah.
So they are inept at running the ball as a team. So, the matchup predictor on ESPN, which I always am leery about after some things that I've seen there, but they say it's a 65% chance that the Texans win. I don't know if I'm that confident against even...
What is it, 65%?
Even as sorry as a Jacksonville team is, it's at home. I guess that's about right. 65-70 at home. I would be closer to 55-60 if this were on the road, because they just like Dem said on Tuesday, man. The Jags give them as much as they can handle every game, every year, whether it's at home or on the road. They always play them tough, and if you watch this team, you realize that as well. Just like they've always struggled with Indy on the road, they got the monkey off their back this year. But they usually beat the Jags, it seems, but it is always tougher than it should be.
It's a great point. They're really good at home. Yeah. So, I mean, even the Chargers game was close, even though they lost that one.
They're 5-1 at home.
Yeah, that's the only loss all year. Yep. So I would definitely say that that is a huge feather in them winning this game in their cap, because in Jacksonville right now, I mean, they hung tough with the Vikings for 3.5 quarters on Sunday. You have got to be careful. It's a trap game for sure.
Yep.
So we got to keep an eye on that Texans injury report we got out of the way. By the way, another story that was a little bit disturbing. I don't know if you had heard about this, but maybe a little bit before Nick's time. But for a lot of you, you remember when the Falcons were good, about the time that Michael Vick was pre-dog issues. Jamal Anderson and the Dirty Birds. The Falcons made a run to the Super Bowl. They were very popular. The Dirty Bird touchdown dance was big by Jamal Anderson. Jamal Anderson now in the news in a way that you do not want to be in the news. Story breaks that he was going to a, I believe, is it called a Quick Trip? We have Quick Trips up in the Midwest. A Quick Trip, which is like a 7-Eleven or any other convenience store. He supposedly was looking around and just mulling around in the store for a bit of time. And then this is, by the way, in Gwinnett County, Georgia. Then decided to whip out the junk and do not fake the funk. On a nasty, you know what, decided to take care of himself in the middle of the Quick Trip for all to see.
Yeah, pleasure, you know, himself? Yeah. So, yeah, apparently he pulled out his Dirty Bird.
Exactly right. And, I was getting to that next. He did the Dirty Bird with his Dirty Bird.
Yeah.
Right in the open.
You know who doesn't do that? Dudes with small penises. So, if there's nothing else you take away from that, I think we all know that... that he's a healthy man. I don't think you'll ever see a dude do that has a small one, unless he's like hopped up.
So
on,
if you're
like,
a tripod, you bring it out.
Yeah, that's just like dudes that send the pics, the D pics. You don't send those if it's small. I said D.
No, I know. I was for another reason.
Yeah, you don't send those
per
right?
TMZ, just for our entertainment value.
Do they have video?
I'm not getting into that.
Is the blur real long?
I do not see video.
Or is it real short?
I'm not clicking on any video.
Is the blur like go down to his knee, or is it just like, you know, look like he's got like a little
belt? Quote, the clerk reported a black male walked into the store early Wednesday morning,
yeah,
slurred something, and started handing over money. Started walking around the store. A short while later, he walked up to the clerk, took out his penis, and started masturbating.
Yeah, man's game. Hilarious. I don't know what that is. I don't know. I've never understood the reason to do that. I've never, like,
we may be missing something in the whole Slurpee Slushy thing.
I don't know.
Missing out.
Maybe? I've never had
after
the thought
all, it's called
that
Slurpee
you know,
for a reason.
You know what this line needs right now? It needs me to pull my peen out and just start playing. Like, I've never stood in line thinking that or checked out or like what goes through your mind.
Okay,
like,
so let me
even
take it,
dudes
okay.
Like, who was it that got caught in his car? There was an athlete that was in his car. I forget who it was. And then he apologized, but he was just, you know.
He got busted.
Sitting in his car.
Had no idea.
At a Walmart. I forget. Oh, I cannot remember
who it was.
Yeah,
it was a football player, I believe. Yes. But yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I know somebody out there listening because
yeah,
you
we'll
guys
figure
correct
it out.
Me all the time yeah. when I'm wrong.
Well,
please.
How about this?
So I know you know this.
The rest of the story, the clerk decided against pressing charges. So Anderson was issued a warning for criminal trespassing, meaning if he returns to the store, he'll be arrested and Quick Trip has banned him.
Oh,
now, if you're on a diet, that's a hell of a good way to keep from hitting the snack aisle.
Was it Kellen Winslow on that?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Parking lot of a Target.
Yes.
Wow.
Yep.
Of a Target?
Because he's a soldier. Remember that dude?
He's a dude that was yelling,
I'm a soldier.
Yeah, he took a lot of heat from the military over that one,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I'm a soldier in the parking lot with my pants down.
By the way, it's the second time in recent months Anderson has run afoul of the law. See what was done there. In August, charged with a suspended license and a move over violation per Burns, and he was also arrested on DUI charges in both Hall and Gwinnett counties in the past. Also arrested on drug possession charges in 2009. I would say there's a lot going on between his ears that probably needs a little professional help.
There's definitely something wrong with this dude. With all that?
No more Yankee me wanky.
No.
The Dirty Bird needs food. All right.
That's craziness.
We got plenty more show to go. We're going to see who we can get on between now and the end of the hour when we wrap this thing up to see if we can get one, if not two, of the Hall of Fame type coaches.
I'm sorry, I know this is an old story. So this dude was waiting to be drug tested, Kellen Winslow, in the Target parking lot while he was pleasing himself.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Oh, it was Target? It wasn't Walmart?
No, it was a Target parking
lot. Well, at least he's high class. If you get caught jerking it in Target. If you get caught jerking it in a Walmart, you're a loser. Target? You're fancy. You're fancy. Yeah.
When you do something classy, pinky it's Target.
As long as you go pinky up, it does.
Well, depending on the size of the Dirty Bird, he might have had pinky up. Yeah,
just remember, kids, keep it classy. Keep that pinky up and you're all right.
So, bringing new meaning to the word Dirty Bird, we continue with the show till 4 o'clock, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, it's Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4. We are waiting on Coach McHale, and we will obviously be very understanding since he is a member of the Turner family and they just lost Craig Sager. Special guest just got off the phone with him. He had a call to take real quick, but it looks like none other than Rudy Tomjanovich will join us in the next 15 minutes. So
fantastic.
Having ex-Rockets coach Rudy T, who, as a longtime Houstonian, can even talk about our little list of where the Rockets rate and how he dealt with the fans over the years in terms of crowds and everything else. Houston gets a bad rap in a lot of ways, but there's a guy that will be able to speak on that and a whole lot more. So I just got off the phone with him personally, so I know he's in town. The Rockets are going to honor him this Friday as part of the 50-year celebration and anniversary, which is good because there had been fallout in the past between the owner and the CEO and how that, in a lot of ways how they looked at Coach T, and now Coach T is being honored, which I think is great. So hopefully
it's only appropriate.
Without question.
Yeah, I'm glad he's coming on because I have a question I've always wanted to ask him.
Excited. Coach is now not available, Barry. we're not going to be able to get to that.
You would do that.
Yeah. No, he just said he had to take another call, so he's available. So that's cool. So we'll get him on, and then hopefully we'll still hear from Coach McHale. And if not today, hopefully I'll get Coach to get on tomorrow. But under the circumstances, very understandable at the very, very least. So with that, we had talked a little bit about the Rockets. We talked about the Texans injury report. So, by the way, Coach McHale in 20 minutes. So we will finish the show strong.
Wow.
We will have Rudy T followed up by Coach McHale. That would be a strong way to finish. Nick, that's something we should probably tweet out for the listeners so that they know.
Absolutely. Bill Fitch? Is he...
What about Bill Fitch? Yeah, can we get Bill Fitch? He lives out there at Walden on Lake Conroe. So we want to go for the three play and just bump the blitz. I'm sure they won't mind.
Get Bill Fitch in. Can we get Bernie back? We should just do like a run of coaches. That wouldn't hurt my feelings.
Get Don Chaney.
Yeah.
He's still in town. We can Mike Woodson.
Bill Fitch twice, actually. He could
Mike
call
Woodson's
it the beginning.
An assistant coach now. Yeah.
He could call it the beginning, true, sometime in the middle. Yep. Yeah. I like this.
There you go. And Van Gundy's in town. We can try and get him too.
I wouldn't hurt my feelings.
Not a bad show when you can get two all-world coaches, a Hall of Famer in Kevin McHale, and then I think a should-be Hall of Famer between his playing career, which was cut short by a nasty punch, his coaching career, and some of the things he was able to do, including winning a gold medal with a team of non-pros, non-top all-star pros, because there was a union issue and a strike going on, and he took a bunch of guys that some people would call scabs, but a bunch of guys that were lesser knowns and definitely lesser professionals, led by center Brad Miller, and won a gold medal in the Olympics. Rudy's done some great things both here locally and internationally. So
I'm glad that Kevin McHale is also coming on because Larry Bird's birthday was a few days ago. Yep. And a friend of mine, Andy Huggins, the comic I'm working with on Friday, shared a Larry Bird highlight video to my timeline on Facebook.
Okay.
And it's almost like you forget about you remember that the greats are the greats, but you forget about how great they were until you watch these, like, this is like the ultimate highlight video. You just forget how good Larry Bird was.
Well, I was a ball boy during that era, and I had, like, up close and personal. But I think the one thing that I love about Larry Bird that, it's come out a little bit. Dude was all-world trash talker.
Oh, yeah.
Talked about yesterday? There's even with quarterbacks, the swagger.
Yeah.
There's a certain it factor. He had it and then some. Like, the thing to me that I'll always remember, he's in the first ever three-point shootout.
This was in the highlight reel.
Yeah. Not only would he not take off his warm-up because he said he didn't need it to beat the other guys, but, like, literally the last shot in the corner, he let it go, turned around, and put one finger in the air before it even got close to the bucket and hit nothing but net.
And then didn't he go up and say, hey, I just wanted to meet who was fighting for second before it started. Like, there was a shot to end the game. The coach had called a timeout. I forget who was coaching.
Casey Jones?
So he goes, listen, we're running the same play, and I'm making it from the same spot, because he had made it, but they had unfortunately called timeout. And sure enough, they go out there with 2 seconds left, same spot, nails it. I mean, dude, I don't know. Can you think of many more clutch players than the steal against? Man. I mean, just over and over. I got to tweet this video.
Yeah, you got to put that
out
there.
You got to go watch this.
Yeah, the steal you're talking about is when he steals the ball from the Pistons and hits Dennis Johnson for the winning layup when it looks like they're done.
Yeah.
He was just Larry Legend for a reason. So that would be cool. And Coach has a lot of great Larry stories. I don't think they're as close as you would think now.
No, but I just want to know things like, were there ever times when you played and just, you're almost watching?
Like, and this is from a guy that arguably has the best low post moves of all time.
Yeah, but that's the things I was thinking.
And Nick, he has verified it. Within 20 minutes, we will call Coach in his hotel room in San Francisco, so he will do it. And that's also big because we can get his comments on Craig Sager, having worked so closely with him both
Rudy
as a coach.
Well, huh?
Yeah, and we'll get Rudy as well. So we'll get those two guys between now and the end of the show. By the way, just because I saw it and I thought immediately, like, to get your guys' response on this, but there's been some big dunks in the last couple of years. Did anyone see Larry Nance Jr. last night?
No,
I did not.
It's worth your time on YouTube immediately to Larry Nance Jr. last night posterized Brooke Lopez, who wasn't going for a rebound, by the way, in the nastiest, easily the dunk of the year, maybe the last 3 years. You know how we talked about, like, Blake Griffin had big dunks, but they were like fastballs that he just kind of threw in?
Wait, even better than Decker's poster dunk?
Yep.
Really?
Oh, please do it right now.
I got to go look this up.
Yeah, Larry Nance Jr. last night in Brooklyn against the Nets. I dare say it was definitely outside of the dotted line, but he put a tomahawk Statue of Liberty behind his head over a 7-footer and unleashed. It is worth your time to check it out. So definitely check that out. We're going to probably take this time to step away so we can kind of get our house in order and try and get these two all-world coaches on successively. So we will start with Rudy Tomjanovich. Rudy should be up next should he be off the phone and a call he had to take, but we will get him here on ESPN 97.5 as we're here till 4 o'clock and we are trying to give you the best in interviews on this Thursday afternoon.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Welcome back to the Joel Blank Show. We got Joel Blank, we got Barry Laminack, we got Nick Sciarra behind the glass, and we are now blessed with an opportunity to speak to one of the all-time greats and one of my all-time favorites, and a man that I know somewhere in the backseat of a car in California has wedding gifts and shower gifts and baby gifts all lined up for me. I can't wait to speak to him. Your two-time world champion head coach, none other than Rudy Tomjanovich. Coach, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you guys.
My man, I always look forward to our chats. But before we get into the meat and potatoes, and also a great thing in why you're back in town, your thoughts on the passing of Craig Sager, a guy that I know you've crossed paths with in the past, and just a heck of a fight put up by one heck of a guy.
Oh, absolutely. To be honest with you, I hadn't heard that. I've been running around here. Very sad to hear that. Great guy. You know, we go back a long, long way, and he did put up a fight, and he did it with dignity. And, you know, he's a much-loved man.
Yeah, no question about it. I said, if you thought he was just an NBA guy, it's kind of like I talk about Calvin Murphy. You think he was just a guy with loud suits, then you're missing the boat, because this guy was a class act among class acts across sports and humanity. So definitely didn't mean to catch you off guard with that, but I thought that very apropos that we could get a comment from you, because you knew him well.
Yeah, like I said, very sad, and an example to all of us.
Coach, I have a question that I was telling Joel at the break when he said you were coming on. This is a question I've been wanting to ask you since 95. Now, your famous quote, never underestimate the heart of a champion. Was that planned? Did you know you were going to say it? Or when you said it, did you just go, I'm really this good?
You know, we had taken, it had been a year where we got a lot of criticism. First of all, we got criticized by some other people in the league about the trade for Clyde Drexler. And, you know, they fell back on things like, you never trade a big for a small, and things like that. And, you know, to get a player of Clyde's caliber, I'd trade anybody. You know, we were just looking to take some of the offensive pressure off of Akeem. So, you know, that was part of it. And then, you know, our good friend Charles, who came to play with us later, he had said during the season that we would be the only championship team that didn't even make the playoffs the next time. So, you know, that was directed at people who didn't think that we could do it, you know. And a lot of people say, never underestimate the heart of a champion. That's not what I said. I said it sort of as a in-your-face, don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
Well,
Coach, I was feeling pretty good.
One of the stories that I love. That
as well, you should have been feeling good.
You know what? And by the way, before we get done with that question, do you remember, and because I do, obviously, because it meant a lot to me, but since I had spent time in Portland with the Blazers, we were on a Southwest Airlines flight from L.A. to do the All-Star game, and you said you wanted to talk to me, and you asked me about Drexler because you guys were thinking about trading him, and I thought, wow, one, I couldn't believe, you know, you trusted me and you talked to me about something like that, and two, I was, like, really fired up that that could actually happen.
Yeah, I've got bad judgment.
Thanks, Coach. That's what I needed out of you. I like the humor and the lightheartedness, of course, as well.
Yeah.
One that you will talk about, because we both know our dear friend Charles, and he likes to run his mouth, but one of the stories I love for you to tell, because people always go back even on this show and say, well, the what ifs, if the Bulls then had Michael Jordan when they played against the Rockets, championships might not have happened. And I just want you to tell that story about on the road in Phoenix, going over to Chuck's house that night, and the special guest that had a little something to input on that as well.
Yeah, it was really a special night. Charles, being the great guy that he is, number one, he's the only guy in the NBA that didn't sit in the back with the players. He sat at the front of the bus, right behind the bus driver, and he had a great relationship with all of them, but he was always you know, talking about them and criticizing them and joking with them. He, very generous person. So he invited me and the staff to come over his house for a steak dinner the first time we went to Phoenix. And we were very surprised that he had two other guests, and they were Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods. And we just couldn't believe it. What a night it was. And what was really enjoyable is that Charles usually is the biggest personality in his company. But when he started to make some of his statements, either Michael or Tiger would say, "Charles, you don't know what the heck you're talking about." And that was great to see them put him in his place. And Michael said very sincerely that he knew that the Rockets were the toughest matchup they would have had because they couldn't stop Akeem. And we matched up with Mad Max on him, who seemed to always get under his skin. So it was a very nice compliment.
Coach, can you talk about the special honor and what it means to you on this 50th anniversary season of the Rockets? I was telling people that you're in town for a special reason. They're honoring you this Friday night. And what it means, I know you're such a humble guy, and you hate to have attention drawn to you, but one, what it means that they're paying tribute to the past, and it started last year bringing the championship team back, and two, to see your ex-players get honored as well, particularly a guy like Vernon Maxwell.
Yeah, I think it's just a fantastic idea and how they're doing it. And I scouted a lot of games, and I watched, and I love watching the Rockets, and, you know, Bill Worrell and Bull. And so I listen and I watch, and I've seen what they've done with the other players. And they're not only doing all-star players. They're doing blue-collar workers and guys like that, you know, that the fans of Houston really love. You know, Chuck Hayes was one of the guys. And just to be a part of that kind of a thing, you know, I had two emotions. One, that I'm so grateful to be a part of one of the best organizations in the world. But Calvin and I came to here in 71, and we didn't know how long basketball was going to do, you know, how long we were going to stay in Texas. But all the wonderful people, the owners, the general managers through those years who fought, you know, to make this at least a sport that the football fans would come and see once in a while, you know, owe a lot of gratitude to them. And then the second thing was, God, I can't believe it. I am getting old, man. It's 50 years, because I was here the first day.
Yeah, you were. From San Diego to Houston. I know you, Barry, you got to. One thing I want to find out from you is, I've been preaching to people, I love watching this Rockets team, but I'm concerned when it slows down and comes to a grind in the playoffs that they still need at least one go-to low post type guy. You scout this team, you've seen this team. Your thoughts on this team, and then that notion that they may still need at least a low post presence come postseason.
Well, here, you know, the game has changed a lot, and the rules. You know, if you get a great low post player, there aren't many around. With the rules, the way they've changed it, you could actually put two guys on a guy away from the ball. You could actually put all five guys on a guy as long as you're an arm's length away from him. So the rules have changed. I don't know if there'll ever be, you know, dominating centers like there used to be, who do 90% of their work down low. Because of those reasons, you could put a guy in front, you could put a guy in back. You could never do that back in the old days. So, you know, it isn't that big of a concern. The concern is always, are you getting good shots? And you get good shots by making, you have to threaten the basket, and I don't see anybody who does it better than the Houston Rockets right now. Is they have drivers who you have to slide somebody over, and it's going to create an open three-point shot. And those are the two most powerful shots you can have, is layups and three-pointers, and they do it as good as anybody in the league.
Well, you do it as good as anybody in the league, too, and that was the system that you ran to perfection. We're running short on time, but I certainly appreciate it. And, Coach, like I said, Friday night, everybody should get out there and pay homage to the man that brought the titles to Houston. Rudy T., we love you. It's great to hear from you. Don't be a stranger. We'd love to have you back with more time so we can get some of those stories about you and Murph, too.
Yep. Anytime, Joel, you know I love you.
I love you too, Coach. Take care, and like I said, I'll try and get out there Friday, but I'll definitely love the honor being bestowed upon you. Rudy Tomjanovich has been our guest. We're going to be back with much more ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
The legends keep on lining up, and we are going to get to it as quick as possible because we are running short on time and have plenty of questions. We just got done with Rudy Tomjanovich, the legendary coach of your Houston Rockets that brought you two championships. Now another Houston Rockets coach and Hall of Famer and my good friend Kevin McHale. Coach, welcome to the show. As always, for your weekly segment, this will probably be shorter than normal because of the fact that we're up against it, and I imagine you have had a ton of people reach out to you. So before we go any further, just your thoughts on what a class act Craig Sager was.
Yeah, great guy. You know, I really got to know him while I was, you know, at TNT and working with him, and just a fantastic guy. I always had a smile on his face. Came in, you know, did a great job, enjoyed it, and Craig was never one to shy away from having some fun, so it was always a good time with him, and he'll really be missed. I'm you know, just one of those things where you're just sad, you know. I just sad to see him go because he just was a fun guy to be around.
Yeah, I was going to say, and we said this, Coach Tomjanovich didn't even know that he had passed, but we said if you thought he was only the guy with the loud shirt, suits and ties, you really missed the boat on what a class act Craig was.
Yeah, he really was, and I mean, just, you know, he loved what he did and he had fun, but he always had a smile on his face, and he just was a guy that you enjoyed being around. He wasn't he was never down, he was always up, and you know, he took his job very, very seriously, but yet had fun doing it. And I think, you know, it was sports, and he just got it. You know, there's some people in life that get it and others that don't. He just got it. And just like I say, when you kind of get it, you're just a fun person to be around because nothing gets you down, and you're like saying, you know, basically, you know, you go out and have a drink with Craig after the show, and he would just say, living the dream. I'd be, yep. And just like I say, sad to see he won't be here anymore.
No doubt. Hey, Coach, question for you. I saw a power rankings that had the Houston Rockets at number one. Are you buying what those rankings are selling?
Well, you know, I think that they fluctuate a great deal, but they're playing great. They haven't lost in December. So if you're saying the best team in the NBA in December is the Houston Rockets, you'd have a hard time, you know, disputing that. But no, I don't see them being able to beat, you know, the Cleveland Cavaliers or the, you know, Golden State. You know, can they beat the Clippers? I don't know. I mean, the Clippers are a team, you know, San Antonio. I don't know, you know, but they're in the talk with those teams, which is great. I mean, I think that's fantastic for Houston. They're playing well. They're scoring up a storm. You know, are they going to be able to maintain that? That's always, you know, that's always a tough thing. But, you know, at the end of the year, you're going to put together the best record you can. You're going to battle for every win. You're going to get playoffs. And then you've got to beat teams and set in best of four out of seven games. And that changes everything. There, you know, I mean, there you get a team that you match up well in the first round. But then the second round, you're talking about either playing the Clippers, San Antonio, or Golden State. And those teams are, you know, they're hard to beat. So, you know, where do you go from here? I don't know. But at this point in December, they're playing as well as anybody.
Coach, interesting, and I know you had some thoughts on it the other night on NBA TV. I wanted to get your thoughts on the fact that from your era coming to where we are now, seeing the Cavaliers last night, resting LeBron, Love, and Kyrie on the road. You saw the signs, people saying they drove 4 hours, they paid a lot of money, but just your thoughts on something like that going on now in today's NBA.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so foreign to me because, I mean, I had said this. I couldn't imagine being a 23-year-old kid and going to Bill Fitch and saying, you know, Coach, my legs feel a little tired. I think I'm heavy-legged tonight. I can't even imagine. Well, I actually can imagine what he said to me. None of it I could repeat on radio right now. And by the end of the time he started, by the end that he got done swearing at you, he would tell you to take an effing nap and be ready to play that night. He didn't want to hear any effing excuses. And I wouldn't even dream of that. I couldn't imagine the response I would have got from Bill, my first NBA coach, doing that. If you're ready to play, if you're healthy, you play. That was the mantra in the NBA. If you're healthy, you play. Now it started with all this resting and stuff, and you know my point is, if you're going to sprain your ankle and go up for a rebound in a crowd, you come down on somebody's foot, you sprain your ankle, you can do that whether you're rested or not rested. I just think so many injuries happen. They're just accidents. You bump knees, you do this stuff, and I don't know if rest is going to stop that. And I don't know if anybody's done a study where they said, boy, after these guys take a game off, you know, they don't get hurt for the next 2 weeks. I don't know about any of that stuff. I don't agree with it. I think if you're ready and healthy, go out and play. And it makes you tough. You grind out stuff. You're not handed an excuse of, oh, you know, he was tired today, so he didn't play well. Hell, you might be tired in Game 7 of the conference finals. You got to go play it. I don't like it, but, you know, I guess I'm just old school that way.
Speaking of old school, Coach, Larry Bird had a birthday recently, and a friend posted a highlight reel of Larry Bird on my timeline. And you are prevalent in the highlights, the recipient of many a no-look pass from Mr. Bird. Was there ever a time playing with him that you caught yourself just watching like a fan almost, or was it just strictly business and you knew you had to keep your head up because you never know when he'd get you the ball?
Yeah, you kept your head up, but I found that out when I first got to Boston in 1980, that you're always open. You played with Tiny Archibald. My first training camp there was Pete Maravich, Tiny Archibald, Dave Collins, Larry Bird. These guys, you were always open, and I was amazed at the passes they threw. I never played with people that would try to squeeze passes through these areas and were so proficient at making great passes through small areas, small holes. And so, yeah, believe me, with Larry, I enjoyed playing with him so much, and he was such a great player. And there were days he got on fire. You went like, wow, man, this is fun playing with this dude. But when he had the ball, you were always, you always had to have your head up because he could pass it at any moment and just, you know, but you got very accustomed to playing with him and his style. And, I tell people all the time, everybody talks about the best players of all time and stuff. And Larry and Kareem, for some reason, don't get mentioned enough in that category. I just don't know how you can get much better than Larry Bird at just playing basketball. The guy was a basketball savant. He just could do, you know, he could do everything on the basketball floor, and he was just a fun guy to be with out there.
No question. And we got more time, Coach. We want you to break down some of those stories, not the ones that we've shared, but that are not ready for radio, but there's some good ones. But I wanted to get you to clarify for fans that aren't quite in the know in terms of the Demo situation from the standpoint of understanding when a team, as your longtime general manager with the Timberwolves before you were coaching, and you know this stuff better than most. Break down for the fans, when an offer sheet is matched, what does that mean? Because some people think the same clauses, everything is the exact same. Other people have a different understanding. Maybe you can break it down for them a little bit.
Well, you know, the Rockets matched the offer sheet given to Demo by Brooklyn.
Right.
So immediately that means that Demo cannot, you know, can't go get any more offer sheets. You know, the offer sheet he signed with Brooklyn now gets transferred when it gets matched. That gets transferred, and all the wording and everything in that offer sheet stays the same to the Rockets.
So now, from the standpoint of incentives and the extra six mil he was talking about and when he can be traded and all that other stuff.
Yes, that all goes. Now, what I've heard that surprises me, which I don't know if it's true, that they were trying to renegotiate that contract, but you've already signed a contract. So I don't know how that can happen. So that's why there's kind of a mystery around this thing, and I don't know if things have changed. I don't know if there's a clause I don't know about. But normally what happens in that instance is that that contract that you signed with Brooklyn is now picked up by the Houston Rockets, and everything that's in that contract, unless you renegotiate, and you can renegotiate small things, like if they had in there that Demo was going to be get a one-time payment January 1st, and the Rockets didn't want to do that, you could have a payment schedule changed over to, you know, twice a month for 12 months, 24 pay periods as opposed to one. You could do some stuff like that. But normally when teams sign these restricted free agent contracts, they put little poison pills in there that make the other team kind of go like, eh, do I really want to sign that? Because his payment is all up front. Or they give you the maximum amount of money in a bonus setting that you can do.
The things that they were questioning were March 1st, his contract would have been guaranteed for the next year, and right. that he couldn't be traded for a year, and the Rockets right. wanted it for 90 days. And on the flip side, Demo wanted a way to try and recoup some of those incentives to make up that $6 million. Those right. could be changed?
Some of that stuff can be, the payment schedules can be changed, and I think you can probably change a couple of those, the time on whether or not you can be traded 90 days or, you know what I mean? You can, but not a lot can be changed. And again, you know, Demo can sit there right now and just say, hey, you know, I want the contract to go enforced as is. And the Rockets at some point are going to, they match the contract. At some point, if Demo says, look, this contract's going to stay as is, the Rockets did match it, they're going to have to come together and they're going to have to, you know, Demo's going to play and it'll be the contract that he signed with Brooklyn. If Demo sticks to his guns like that, then that's why I'm a little uncertain as to why there's so much dialogue going on as to the contract and how everybody wants to change it, because that contract just gets transferred to the Rockets.
Well, we know you are in the Bay Area, and you've got work to do. So I know that you're doing the Knicks Golden State game.
I'm doing the Knicks Golden State game tonight, and looking forward to doing it. So everybody tune in on TNT tonight, and
yep.
It might not be the most competitive of games. So you'll be hearing lots of stories and a lot of other things from Marv and myself.
Do me a favor, Coach. See if someone will knock Draymond Green on his ass tonight.
That would be nice, but I just don't see Porzingis with his 198 pounds, 7'3", being the guy to knock Draymond Green on his ass. They better bring in O'Quinn, or better bring someone in off the bench to do that.
And they don't have a Joey Dorsey waiting in the wings.
That's what they need right there.
Hey, Coach, you got to plug us while you're in there. You got to say, you know, when I was talking to Joel and Barry today, you got to slip that in there for us now.
Well, we might have a lot of time to do that. Don't worry.
Coach, as always, we appreciate the time. Travel safe. All right. Have a great broadcast tonight. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you guys later. Take care. Bye-bye.
Jeff McHale's been our guest. Great way to wrap up the show. We had Rudy T. We had Coach McHale. We had them both on a day that we lost Craig Sager, too. So you know where to tune for the latest and the most updated information, as well as top-quality entertainment, 1 to 4, Monday through Friday, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.